Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Father, this morning, what a joy it is to be in your presence. Thank you for Easter Sunday morning. Lord, a few hours ago, over 2,000 years and counting, the women in the ministry of Jesus, with their love and care for the Son you gave to the world, went to the tomb where he was buried to apply spices on his body, only to realize that indeed what he said was true. And 3 days, only 3 days, he will prove to the world that there was only one God. Thank you for a day like this that we celebrate the resurrection, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I pray, oh God, that our faith and our belief and our trust in God will be strengthened, will become firmer, even as we celebrate such a glorious day. And I thank you for what you have in store for us. Bless our lives. Speak to our hearts. Let us not leave this place the same as we came. In Jesus' mighty name. And somebody said, amen. Amen. Why don't you put your hands together for the Lord, and you may please be seated. Hallelujah. The first service is the best service. What do you think? Yeah, I believe so too. First service is the best service. All right. Hallelujah. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Gospel according to St. John chapter 20, and we want to read from verse 1. I wish I had a white suit, but I don't have a white suit, so forgive me. I'll try and get one. Yeah, white shoes, at least on Resurrection Day. White suit and white shoes will not be bad at all. But that's right. Yeah. So forgive us for going the usual way. John chapter 20, verse 1 says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre." Some people say sepulchre, some people say sepulchre. Whichever you want to call it, it is something. "Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved." John didn't joke with his privileges at all. You know, the Apostle John, according to scriptures, was somebody that Jesus really loved. You know, and he wrote this gospel. And that he made sure that people would not forget that he's the one who wrote it. It is better to boast in the Lord than to boast in anything else. Boast of what you have to do and the place you have in the presence of God. You get it? There's nothing wrong about that. And so the disciple whom Jesus loved said unto them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." But Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. I remember many years ago in the Presbyterian church, where my parents used to take me, whether you like it or not. As long as you are under the roof, you go to the Presby Church. And you go through confirmation classes. And you get confirmed as a sinner. And then you take Holy Communion. Yes. And then you come to church every Sunday. I remember the preacher preached one Sunday morning. And he spoke about this part. He said that both of them, the woman came and they spoke to Peter and John. And the Bible said, so they both ran together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter. It's very important to know that the other disciple outrun Peter. He was younger than Peter, who was older. Young people run faster than older people. If you like, let's try it right now. Mr. Wales, if you like, let's try it right now. Let's go out there, me and you. Let's see who will win. The younger will definitely outrun the older. Because when you get old, certain things slow down. Isn't it? They seize up. Before you realize, you can't even run again. Your leg is saying, I can't take this. But the Bible says that they ran both together and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. Right? And he, stooping down and looked in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh our brother, big brother, Simon Peter, after a couple of minutes, following him. And went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie. So, I mean, this is what he preached about. And I think it was very, very significant. He was trying to include everybody, you know, because the person who discovered that Jesus died and rose again first were the women. And then they came and told the disciples. So John and Peter, they ran. John outran Peter. But when he got to the tomb, he didn't go in. Because he was young, he was a little shaky and afraid. But Peter, after a few minutes when he arrived, he said, "By rest yourself." He entered and went inside and went to touch the linen clothes. So the preacher was trying to say that when it comes to the resurrection, the New Testament and the New Covenant, old people are included. Young people are included. Women are also included in the resurrection story or in the New Testament. That Jesus was trying to send a message that now, from now, there is no you can't say somebody is a woman. From now, you can't say somebody is young. From now, you can't say somebody is old. Everybody is included in this new movement that I've started from today. What do you think about that? I think it's a very, very powerful statement. So everyone, a woman, the younger one and the older one, they had some significant roles to play that very morning. Because even though the women saw it, they had to come and tell the guys. Otherwise, they could have gone out looking for Jesus. And not tell anybody. But they had to depend on the men. And the men, when they rushed to go and see, verify the story. When they got there, the younger one couldn't go inside. I'm sure he was afraid. Young people are afraid of Jombi. When you are older, you say, there's no Jombi. Buy rest yourself. There's no Jombi nowhere. Yeah, there are some stories that is only young people who you can cheat them with. When you talk about those young people, say, my son will tell me when he was beginning to lose his teeth. He said some fairy something, if you put the tooth under your pillow, then it will turn into something. I said, buy rest yourself. So you always want to put his tooth under the pillow. I mean, you and I older knows that there's nothing about that. You wake up and see the tooth right there smelling right under your pillow. And when you are younger, you believe all these fantastic stories. Isn't it? Yeah. And the Bible says, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together. Listen to this. And the napkin that was about his head, you see, because the crown of thorns was put on his head, there was a lot of bleeding from his head. You know, Jesus died really out of loss of blood, you know. It's too much blood that he lost. Because remember, when they were going to, the children were watching The Passion of Christ or The Life of Jesus Christ, and then I was just there a few minutes and I saw, which wasn't so bad, because when Jesus died, when he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, And then he gave up the ghost. Then the earth began to quake. And Pilate was in his room. And he became afraid because his golden cup on the table or something, you know, fell. And even the chief priest, those who, Caiaphas, these guys who conspired and arrested Jesus and killed him. He was in the temple. The temple, you know, torn. You get it? The temple torn. So the temple also was affected. And then where Jesus was also began to quake. And there was this guy, the centurion, one of the, you know, army, the guys. He looked at Jesus like that in shock. And then he went on his knees and he took off his head, whatever was on his head, took it off. And he went on his knees. And I'm sure he prayed. And he got up and he started going back like that, which was very nice. Right? Now, when it started quaking like that, then they wanted to run away. But before they wanted to leave, they wanted to make sure that the folks were dead. You get it? So they went to the thieves, the one on the left and the one on the right, and they used something like a sledgehammer, and they broke their legs. Now, there was a prophecy that none of his bones, David prophesied, that none of his bones would be broken. And you see, many, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, but you will not understand what David said until you come to the time when they were leaving and they wanted to make sure that they were dead. So they went to the first event, they broke his leg. And then the other one, they broke his leg. I mean, they were trying to just kill them on or make sure that they are dead before they leave. When they got to Jesus, then they said, oh, the guy, he's dead. So Jesus escaped the sledgehammer touching his bones. To fulfill the prophecy that not even a single bone will be broken. But the guy took a spear and then pierced his side. And then blood and water came out. You know, so his head was covered with blood. And that is why when Joseph of Arimathea came to beg for his body and they, you know, took him into the tomb, they wrapped a napkin around his head because there was a lot of blood coming out from his head. That's where the napkin comes in. Verse 7, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, wrapped together in a place by itself. So what happens is that, you see, a dead person is wrapped in linen clothes. And then there's a napkin that they use to wrap his head. And they take him dead into the tomb and they lay him down on a stone or something. And it's on this Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, they come and they see the linen clothes there, and then the napkin that was used around Jesus' head was wrapped and folded. It's like there has been an activity inside the tomb. When the tomb was left sealed with a dead body. Think about it. Pilate, the chief priest Caiaphas, ensured that the tomb was sealed. You know how GPL seals your meter? For those who like TV electricity. GPL comes, they put a meter there, and they put a seal on it. Now, should something happen and they come and they realize that the seal is broken, they are going to charge you. So it's a similar thing they did. The people told Pilate, they convinced Pilate to the extent that they said, this man, when he was alive, he said that he will rise or something. So this thing, we have to make sure that the disciples don't come and steal his body and go around and peddle a certain lie that he died and he rose again. So please put your seal on the entrance, on the stone that was rolled to the entrance of the tomb. Put your seal on it, which means that nobody under the leadership of Pilate will ever dare to come and touch the stone. Not if you want to live. So they ensured, the Bible says they ensured, there's too much base. They ensured that there was a seal under the stone. And the stone was rolled by Roman soldiers. heavy, big, a number of them. So Peter, James, and John and all these guys who were very broken and very sad, it was very difficult for them to, go and roll this away. And the Bible says they placed guards around the tomb. You don't want to try it. Now, if you want to live, you don't want to go to the tomb. Michael, you don't want to go to the tomb and try and open the tomb. Because the soldiers were there guarding, ready to take anybody on who wanted to come and cause a problem in Jerusalem. After this guy who has caused problem is dead. Now, after he's dead too, another problem is coming to happen. They didn't want that. So you can understand that the resurrection story is a very powerful one. That Muhammad cannot compare himself in his wildest dreams. Because he's still lying down in Mecca. Yeah. Is there both? Things happen. You see, I don't know how people can really believe in this Selassie guy who got up somewhere in 1970 something, you know, that is even the Jamaicans who helped to idolize him and all of that. All these people, you know, Sai Baba, he has a bushy hair like a woman. His big hair like that. He's dead and gone. All these people who profess that they are something, where are they? But even if you say Jesus is not alive, we are the proof of Jesus being alive. We are the proof of Jesus being alive. You see, so my message is actually entitled, Seeing is Not Believing. Because the people say that, seeing is believing. You got to see it to believe it. So my message is, seeing is not the same as believing. If you want to see it before you believe, then you are damn wrong. You are wrong. Because think about it. The tomb was sealed. The body was not there. The napkin that was used to wrap his head had been folded nicely. Like somebody who likes neat things had come and knitted up the place. And the tomb was rolled away. The soldiers were nowhere to be found. Nobody was able to give any proper answer as to where the body was. There was confusion in Jerusalem. The Bible says that, then went in also, verse 8, the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre. You see, all of these things are being emphasized. Because if it wasn't important, it would not even be mentioned. This one came first, he didn't go in. And then after, you know, Peter went inside and realized that the things were like that. And then now John enters, because now John realized that, okay, the coast is clear, there's safety, let me go. He enters, and he saw. And believed. He saw and he believed. You don't need to see. You see, there's no tomb anymore to go and see all these things. You have to believe. You have to believe. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? You see, it's so fantastic that Jesus didn't show himself to any of the guys. Who really should Jesus show himself to? It's not Peter. They say good old Peter, who said, I'll go anywhere with you, I'll die with you. I'll say that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, why did he show himself to a woman? Yeah. And even the beloved disciple was there. John came around and everything. Jesus didn't show himself to him. Mary. Magdalene. Is it Magdalene? Mary. It's a woman. Wow. Why weepest thou? Jesus showed himself to Mary. Hey. Woman. You are very special to the Lord, you know. I said, women, you are very, very special to the Lord. Because when he wanted to show himself first, he showed himself to you. So when people say, hey, only women go to church, they must not say that, because it's even negative on the man. That the man must now say that if it's Jesus showed himself to women, let us also force and go to church. Because they are trying to cheat us. Yeah. Not that it's like something useless or something that is not impressive. That, oh, it's woman. This is a woman thing. No. It's a very, very precious thing for women to really love the Lord. And that's how come you also see more women in the church. Because women love God more than men. Yeah? And maybe Jesus, of course, maybe he knew that. That's why. He said, no, these men, if I show myself to them, they won't make it feel nice. Let me do it. They are too hard. Let me give them some space and show it to the woman who can go. You know how women bring stories? This is, hey. I said, well, you erase yourself. Take your time. What's happening? What's that? He said, hey. Yeah, when you tell a man, the man say, really? Are you sure? No emotions at all. Oh, you see the woman, she will holler. You see, when people die and then you go to the funeral parlor, you see people, who are the ones who say, who are those? It's the women. Yeah. They make the thing look nice. Men, we are not good in making these kind of stories, very impressive. That is why even the world has learned from it. That when they are making any advertisement, even if it is water, they don't use a man. A man hard face. Ooh, buy water with a man standing next to it. They put a nice girl, and then she's wearing brassiere and panties with water. You wonder where brassiere and panties got to do with just drinking water. Yeah. But the woman makes everything look nice. If you go to any office, the receptionist is a woman. Because the man doesn't have time to, what you want? Buddy, what happened? No. The woman is the one who, very nice and kind and speaks. That's why nurses are mostly women. You can be a man and be a nurse. What's wrong with you? Women are the one, because all those kind of care and attention and those, it's a woman thing. It comes with feelings. And men, we don't have the feelings. So it's very difficult to get into these professions. Yeah. Yeah. It's not that they are trying to do what? Stag is a man's beer. Because women don't drink beer. But even when the men come, they'll put some woman around. Yeah. Even now, when you see nice car, I mean, they don't show nice cars here, but if these vehicle automobile companies are advertising their new models, the 2015 model, sometimes it's a woman. You see a woman in a nice long dress, red, long hair, and then she walks almost like she's going to a fashion show, not knowing it's a car that they are trying to advertise. Because the car without the woman is not attractive. And it's all from the Bible. You see, Satan is also trying to use the same thing God used. God showed himself first to a woman, because women have a way of carrying stories. They make a certain impact. This church has come far because of women. Yeah, not the men. No. Yeah, this church has become stronger because of the women in the church. It's true. My first drama was a woman. It was a girl, yeah. A girl, first. I used to play the drums first. And then I taught a lady, and she started playing. And since then, the drums, I think Jacob's played at a point. And then it came back to a woman. Yeah. We're waiting when she gets married. We don't know whether she'll still play the drums. Next woman will come. But I want to see married women playing the drums too. Because drums is not for little girls who don't have any plan in life. It is something you do for God. And whether you are married or not, you do what you want, you do. That's why we've started a choir with women who are older and mature. Because it doesn't mean that if you are older, you shouldn't do something in the church. It doesn't mean that if you are older, you can't do something for the Lord. Yeah, it's even nicer when older people are committed to something. It speaks well of that thing they are doing. Are you with me? So I'm saying seeing is not the same as believing. Just in case you want to see things to believe. And the Bible says that, then Jesus said unto the woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. Mary? Mary is a nice name, you know. It's nicer than Tonika. It's nicer than Taisha. It's nicer than Julex. Yeah, fine. I said, Mary. Mary. Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni. Which is to say, Master. And Jesus said unto her, Oh, don't ne touche pas ça. Don't touch me. Ce n'est pas touché. For I am not yet ascended to my Father. You see a woman, you see the man calls you Mary. You see, the woman is coming to touch Jesus. I mean, something must happen. Yeah, contact, emotions, feelings. Jesus said, Oh, hold on. Not this time. Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. And that he had spoken these things unto her. You see, there are a lot of things about the Bible and even the resurrection story that people don't believe. But you can't see it again. There will not be a replay of the movie for you. Just in case you are wondering, DJ, that you know what? I want to see Jesus myself. Who is you to want to see Jesus? You can't request to see Jesus. You better check yourself and make sure that you are in line with the things of God and that you are saved, rather than demanding that you see Jesus. Because even this part of the story where Jesus rises and then people say, oh, but if he rose from the dead and he had a resurrected body, how come Mary wanted to touch him? I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Because the body he rose up with wasn't the body that was on the cross. It was a spiritual body, a body that can go through concrete buildings, like angelic bodies. So the people ask, so if it was that body, how come Mary was going to touch him? And Jesus said, oh, you can't touch me, oh, me, I'm spirit. Why didn't he? No. A lot of things come around there. You see, the more you want to have the thing make sense to you, the less you believe. Should I say it again? The more you want to understand a lot of things about the Bible and about God, the less you believe and the more confused you will be. You have to learn to believe. You have to learn to believe God and believe the things that God does. That yes, Jesus, even though he was in a resurrected body, he can do anything. Because when he also went, we are going to read that part also very soon. The similar thing happened with Thomas. And he said that Mary came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Think about it. We know women already. You came to tell us that the body is not there. We went and we checked it. Now you come again. Come and tell us now you saw him. Woman, what is your story? Why don't you make your story straight? What are you trying to tell us? You came first and you told us that the body is not there. Now you are telling us, yeah, you saw him and you spoke to him and he said this. I mean, it sounds crazy. It's very difficult to believe something like that. So we went there, we saw he wasn't there. So if you found him, why didn't you bring him here? Why didn't you tell him that, you know what, we've been looking for, why didn't you bring him here? This Mary lady, I don't know. You see, all along, as he's been around Jesus, when Jesus was here, I didn't really trust her. Look at now what she's saying. And I know she's like that. She tries to create things. Look at what she's saying now. Now we don't even know what to do. Why, if you saw Jesus, why didn't you come with Jesus? Why did you even make him wait and then you call us on the cell phone or something? Let us come and see where he is. What is all of this about? You need to, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is something you need. You need to believe the Bible. You need to believe the way God does his things. You need to believe the supernatural and believe the things that we don't understand. Because you want to see it, you can easily not see it. You must believe it. Turn to somebody and say, you got to believe the story. The Bible says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them. So this is what I'm talking about. So at one point, his body is said that you could touch. And at another point, it's difficult to even see that he's around. The people are in the room, locked up. And all of a sudden, this is a real zombie. This is a real ghost. I mean, you will run. See, many of us, including myself, will love to see Jesus. But I'm telling you, if you don't take care, when Jesus shows up, you will run away. You will run away. Because the glory, his presence, is something unimaginable. Something we cannot handle. I mean, look at us. At a certain age, you can't even see things clearly. Your eye begins to fail you. You look at the words and you're wondering. You need something to help you see. You think you can behold Jesus in his glory? You need a glass. You need a supernatural glass. Hallelujah. Like Moses, when Moses came down from the mountain, the people could not look at his face. Even Moses. Peace be unto you. And when he had said, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. You see, they had to see. They had to see. Because when they went and they saw that the tomb was empty, they still could not understand that by the scriptures, he was supposed to resurrect. And Jesus came and he showed himself to them. I mean, Jesus realized that unless these people, they see, because the reason why Jesus, you know why Jesus still has his marks? Jesus' marks distinguishes him from anybody else. What will make you really identify Jesus when you see him is the marks of the nail. Satan cannot mimic that. He can't create that. Aside. The mark was still there. This is a whole sermon. Because you and I also, like the stripes of an army officer, his rank, that is also Jesus' rank. And then you and I, that day when we stand before God, we must have marks. Marks to show our ranks. What we have been through to be where we are. What you have gone through to be where you are. That's how come people who die for the Lord, like what happened in Kenya. Can you believe it? Al-Shabaab. Ghana is a very nice country. But it's also dangerous. Because the niceness and the quietness is not something we should boast about. That a Muslim organization group, Al-Shabaab, and I hope Muhammadu, is it Buhari? I hope he will come and kill these Boko Haram people for us. Because there's some crazy black people in Africa now. These guys, early morning, they know that the school contain Christians, and they go early morning when the Christians have gathered in a hall doing morning devotion, praying. They take guns and then they shoot them, 100 and something dead, 40 something 147 people killed because they were Christians. A school of about 500 and over people. So they ask, Christian or Muslim? When you say Muslim, they let you go. If you say Christian, they shoot you. 147 people in Kenya. killed just like that because they were Christians. And the people say they are linked to Al-Qaeda. And they call us barbarians. They call us infidels. We should also get those names here in Guyana. Yeah. Otherwise, we are not doing anything. We must be a threat to these Hindus and all these people. You can't be a pastor and be a church and nobody troubles you. We were here the other day, and then some people from the environmental or sanitary, whatever they call them, came. They said they got a report that we are throwing garbage into somebody's. I don't know where they came. That they got a report that we throw garbage and old bicycles. We throw it somewhere. So they came to check. So when they came, they looked around. They said, but there's no evidence of that. They said somebody called them. And then we're going to do some work. So we brought a truckload of sand. And I said, you know what? We don't like sand in the compound. There's this place. This whole place is a reserve. So we went to dump it at the back there. So the person who called also said that they've also come to dump sand. So they came. It's so nice that people burn garbage. People throw rubbish all around here. Nobody calls it environmental or sanitary people. Yeah. When the Christians do something, so it's nice when people appear like that. We must give them drink to drink. Say, hello, please, we have juice for you, drink. Yeah. Came, looked around. Said, there's nothing. Said, okay, thank you very much. And they said, but the sand, maybe just to be careful, maybe you have to move it from there. When I was told, I said, we're moving no sand from nowhere. We even dumped a second one right there. It's government reserve. It doesn't belong to anybody. If we are not breaking the law, we are not breaking no law. When we are ready to use it, then we'll use it. That's it. But that's how it is. We seem to always attract problems. And you see, and people will look at that and say, oh, it's a bad church. The pastor is something. No. It's a good church, rather. I said, it is a good church, rather. That's how come we are going through these things. Because on that day, when we stand before God, we should be able to show that look at the things we have gone through in Isla Penitence. Mikhail, where's Mikhail? He's sitting at the back there. Isla Penitence, how Mikhail used to throw stones on the roof. Yeah. Then we came here. The boys, they used to play football and the ball would go. And then they would jump and go and pick up their ball. They say, hey, please. You can't do that. This is our building. The roof is leaking. We don't even know how to fix it. It's all so complex. And then you also jump in. And when you say, they say, hey, you're a foreigner. You come here for control. We no, no, come on. You are. I don't know what to tell you. You can't jump on somebody's building. I said, you in your house. Can I come and just jump on your building and take something? Think about it. But no. Then it caused all kinds of problems. They say the church is this, the church is that, but it's good because we need some problems. Because if I never had a problem, do you know the song? I never knew that God could solve it. Yeah. And therefore it has given us all kinds of things. I remember Tanza, Pastor Keith's cousin, Tanza Dale, and your auntie, what's your auntie's name? Jean, Auntie Jean. When Pastor Keith was going to Ghana and I went to their house, you know, that group was going. I went to their house and I was talking to his auntie. Because his auntie would come and stand at the gate. Say, Mary? Mary, what about there? Buy you that was stupidness. And then the woman would talk, I would shout. And Pastor Keith would be hiding. He said, oh Lord, please help me. Why are you there in the church? You're there in the church all the time. When I went to the house and, you know, I was talking to them and all of that, you know, how they feel as he's going to Ghana and all of that. And then the woman said, how are you? You don't look sound like the things I've heard. So I said, what have you heard? He said, oh, I said enough bad things about you. I said, really? Then Tanza came and said, in fact, the things we have heard about you, we are very surprised. I said, well, to God be the glory, great things he has done. And since then, Tanza started coming to the church. We went to Madia. Lee Pastor Abigail was telling me, an Assembly of God church in Madia. I was preaching. Preached there for 2 days. And there was a lady who was sitting on my right, like where Sister Lynette is sitting. I took notice of her. But it was when we came back, that lady, Pastor Abigail, said, did you recognize a lady, you know, a black lady sitting on the right side? I took a picture of her and she came to show me. I said, hey, I saw her. She said, the lady is from Isla Penitence. I said, what? In Madia? She said, yeah. She said, the story is coming. She said, the lady has said so many bad things about the church that she stopped her son from coming to the church. He said, now he's telling me that he's going to send his son back to the church. He need more books. He coming to Georgetown to buy enough books. It's too fantastic. He said she stopped the son because she's heard so many things about the church. It's too fantastical. Now, it is not nice, of course. Naturally, it's not so nice when people say things about you, right? Especially when they are not true. But when it's a church and we are doing God's work, you must rejoice. Say, Father, thank you that I'm being accused for the same things that you were doing and people misunderstood. So he showed his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Verse 21, we're finishing. I should read from my Bible. I think I've been doing well from my Bible already. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Even this one is also another controversy. Which one was this? Was it the Holy Ghost baptism or was it all the people say that? Won't go into that. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, don't call your son Thomas. One of the 12 called Didymus was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see. You see? I said, seeing is not the same as believing. He said, but he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Well, stay there. Stay there. You want to see it before you believe it? Or you wait for a long time? Because seeing is not the same as believing. People, I was watching a clip on YouTube from hell, somebody who went to hell. You know, and I think I shared it. And I was even thinking that these things, people will still say, oh, I don't believe what they are saying. Somebody went to hell. And when I was listening to the whole episode and what the guy was narrating, it was about 25 minutes. I realized that, you see, when they say mercy and grace, people don't understand. Mercy is here on earth now. By the time you die, no matter how much you beg, there can't be any response to your begging and your pleading, because it is here that begging will be answered. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So, if there's any forgiveness or any mercy, it is now here. Now that you are alive, if you make the mistake to die, and you say, Lord, I have realized my mistake, please forgive me. No, it cannot, because the place where mercy exists and grace exists, the place is not the same place. Now, it's a place where those things don't happen anymore. You can't go to jail, and when they lock you up, you say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Yes, you are forgiven, but you can't leave jail. You cannot leave there. Otherwise, nobody will go to jail. So this is the time now that you are walking, living your life. It's now the time to repent and to do all the things you have to do. Because the moment you die, and we don't know when we are dying also. Yeah. You don't want to believe it? I say, you see, this church here is for Isla Penitence people. I tell you. What can you get? I mean, what more do you want by walking to a church that is so nice? People spend all kind of money to go to churches. I have a good church right here. But people come from all over. People come from BV. A young lady there is from BV. All the way from BV. And somebody lives right here. So they don't believe. They do not believe. Let's not believe. They want some angel to come and tell them that this church is a good church before. Just Just like, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Douglas are here. Another young lady like that who's in Ghana. When she went to Ghana, then when she was going, I think I've said it before. When she was going to Ghana, then the parents came when the office, you know, answered their questions, because it's not as simple the way your child is going to a country. All of that you must believe. Yeah. Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Jordan. Their son is also in Ghana. You must believe that they are in a good place. So the woman was upset with me. You know, everything went to her, and she cried. She cried. Oh, Pastor, I thank God for me that. Oh, Pastor, I thank God. He cried all the cries. Very proud of her daughter. The daughter has come this far. We sent a doctor to Ghana. She's coming back this year, November, end of November, she'll be back as a lady pastor. 4 years. When the daughter left, a few months after that, then the woman said, she vexed. She's coming back to the church no more. She vexed. You know what makes she vex? You see, in the church, you can talk to the wrong type of people. You have to be careful. There are some people who do not see things in a certain way, and the things you say, the things they tell you, can easily change your mind and make you go somewhere else. I don't know who she spoke to. She got vexed. The girl, her daughter has been in Ghana almost 4 years now. It's just the other day that she came back to church. In fact, there was a case where one of my church members was passing by a beer garden or a pub? How do you call it? A beer garden, right? But passing by a beer garden, and this lady, a little drunk, abusing somebody, not knowing that it was me. I take Shidata to go to Ghana, and they've made her a slave in Ghana. And then so she mentioned my name. And then the church member who was passing to me, No. So the person took her phone and went closer. Like, it's a beer garden, so anybody can come there, right? So she went closer to the beer garden and called one other church member and said, please, I don't want to come and say something that somebody will tell me I'm lying. So if you can hear what is going on here, please. So the person called another church member, and the phone was, you know, around, like she was talking, and they went closer. And the lady was talking and insulting me and abusing me, saying all kinds of things about me. And the church member was here. He said, what? Because I've taken her daughter to Ghana to be a slave. Because what happens is that when they go to Ghana, Pastor Keith can tell you, in part of their training is to create humility among them. You can't be a pastor if you're not humble. So one of the things we do is that we you know, they clean. As for cleaning, it's a simple thing. Because even your house, where you live, you clean. But one other thing also that they do is that during the holidays, they have the option to either stay on campus or go and stay with their pastor or maybe one of the people in the church. Now, when you go there, you can't wake up and sleep like you were doing here in your house in Guyana. You have to wake up and you have to help. And so the daughter was helping. I think that whoever, the wife who had given birth, was a pastor's wife. She had given birth. So she was helping with taking care of the baby and all that. She enabled. And said that we are leaving her daughter in Ghana. Just the other day she came back. Come back. I said, man, no worries, man. We good. We are right. Yeah. it's part of the way. You see, your daughter will come back. Now, she tells me when she talks with her daughter, she can't believe that things. I mean, it's like this God, it's the Bible, it's the scripture. Mommy, believe. Ah, you wait. When the daughter comes, you see what I'm talking about. Now, it's such a blessing for God to take hold of your daughter who doesn't pass CXE, doesn't have a future really. It's taking. And trained and set apart and concentrates on God and becomes somebody who will come and teach other younger people to follow God. It's a blessing. But it's gone to a place. So one father said that if we had told him earlier, he would have gone to Ghana himself to look around and check the church and everything out before he would have allowed his daughter to go. And I said, that is why you were not told earlier also. Because you cannot come and stand in between somebody. It's your child, right? But God has a purpose for your child more than what you think you have. So that's why you didn't know about it until it was late. The girl was going. Now, help with the ticket. You say you don't want to help. It's okay. Now, he's sending the girl money. The girl, she's doing all right. It's cool. It's a blessing. But no. People say all kinds of things. So believing is very important. You must believe. You see, there are other sides. There are things in this world that has caused us not to trust people and to believe people. They are there, but you have to really be careful because it's not everybody who is the same. On that day, on Calvary, when Jesus was crucified among two thieves. Jesus wasn't the thief. But if you had just entered Jerusalem that time, and you ask, hey, what is going on? Somebody would have said, oh, there's some three thieves that are being killed. At the whole place. No, it's not three thieves. There are two thieves and one righteous man who had never done anything wrong. Pilate himself said that when I assess this guy, I don't see anything wrong with him. But if you don't take it and say, oh, there are some three thieves that are being crucified. Don't be like Thomas. Don't always look for evidence and proof. Some of the things you will not see them if you want to. God, in his wisdom, only reveals certain things when he wants to certain people. We don't have any right to evidence to believe in the things we believe in. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. My time is up. Amen. Let's believe. Don't let Jesus come and show you his nail-pierced hands. You're so, oh, when he shows you that, what will happen? Then now you're embarrassed, you're sorry, and you're crying. Look at Thomas. Blessed are those, 26. What does he tell Thomas? Quick. Yeah. And thrust into my hands and be not faithless, but believing. 28 says what? My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Don't wait to see. Don't wait to see that what you are doing for God has a reward attached to it. Don't wait. By the time you realize, it will be too late. You can't reverse things. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing with all I am. And Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing with all I am. Father, thank you for speaking to us. We will believe. We will not be like Thomas, even though he saw it. But you said that it was better for him to have believed without seeing than seeing to believe. May we believe. May we be believers indeed. People who do not see before they believe. Thank you. We believe that you died and rose again. We believe there was a Jesus who came into this world and lived his life and preached the gospel and was crucified. He died and he buried. He was buried and he resurrected on the third day. We do believe. And we also believe that you are coming back someday. And because of this belief, we will live our lives the way you want us to live it. Thank you for reminding us, oh God. In Jesus' name.
Father, thank you so much for speaking to us. I thank you for the light that comes through your word. I thank you for blessing our lives in Jesus' name. You are not saved. You are not born again. You want to go to heaven when you die. This is a prayer you must pray. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life, and I am born again now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.